Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be encouraged in your journey and that your relationship with Father God will be strengthened and deepened. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
One of my favorite things about Jesus is that he's alive. And I don't think I don't think I'll get tired of saying that this Jesus that we sing about is that he's living, he's active, he's moving. And we've been having such a blast at GMDS. For those of you who are new here, I'm on staff here. I'm a director of our discipleship school. It's an 8-month discipleship school, runs from September through to the end of April. And I want to share some stories, and it's actually going to lead into what I want to talk about today, because God is up to something in our nation right now. And so I want to tell you some stories, and I'll start with just a little bit of GMDS stuff, but then I want to look at the bigger picture a little bit, and then also look at like what do I think that he's speaking to us as a church in the middle of this season as well. But a couple of weeks ago, we had the chance as a school, got on our bus and went down to Regina. Also lost a tire on the way back. That's another story. It's fun. We all made it. We're fine. That tire, not so much. But. Anyway, we went down to Regina, and we're helping serve at a conference. It's probably my 6th or 7th time I've been part of this conference. It's a high school youth conference, so there's 270 teens and leaders from across Western Canada, at least from Dryden to Lethbridge, but maybe even a bigger range than that. And so we're just joining in, serving, helping serve with meals, helping run activities, being a part of ministry teams, praying for people, just trying to help wherever we can. And on the first night of this conference, the speaker, he gives a simple salvation message. And it's not fancy, nothing dramatic, but he tells the reality of Jesus crucified for our sins and gives the offer for anyone who wants to lay down their lives to follow Jesus. And I've been a part of a number of these things, and usually it takes a while for somebody to break the awkward silence and actually, you know, maybe come to the front, and almost right away a guy gets up, and then another, and then another. And there was, the school was published the numbers later, it was 30 plus kids who gave their lives to the Lord out of a group of 270, like these are Christian youth groups, and 30 plus of them gave their lives to the Lord. And a number of our students had a chance to actually pray with these teens who were giving their lives to Jesus, which was awesome. Like, so cool to see the presence and power of the Holy Spirit moving. The next day there was prayer for healing, and the Lord was doing all sorts of things. Just one testimony from that. One of our guys had the chance to pray for somebody who'd been in a football accident 2 years ago, and his knees had bent in a way they were not supposed to. They had gone backwards, and so he had all sorts of knee damage that was affecting him. And our student, as he was praying for him, you know, he was telling me about it later. He's like, it wasn't fancy. It was just a simple prayer, like, Lord, would you please heal this guy's knees? And the guy's face lights up. He's able to bend down. He's able to jump. Like, he's fired up because the Lord completely healed him. And there are a bunch of other testimonies of similar stuff as the Lord was moving in power in this generation. And again, I love this because it's the power of God moving in our nation. That evening, we're in the middle of a worship time. And I have a bunch of friends who are on the worship team, actually. And they just could tell that there was something more the Lord wanted to do. So they actually started dragging out worship longer. And the speaker gets up and he's like, hey, we're just going to keep on worshiping. And kind of backs off to the side. And as they were singing, they hit this song. It's called Give Me Jesus. And the chorus is, I don't want anyone else. I don't want anything else. You are my first love. You are my first love. And the instruments all cut out. And we were in a room filled with, there was over 300 people in the room. And there was just this just the voices raised up, crying out, I don't want anyone else. You are my first love. And I turned to one of my students beside me and I just said, that's the sound of revival. That's the sound of revival. Not that revival broke out that day, but that's the sound of revival. A generation that is crying out for more of the Lord. That's crying out for more of his spirit to move. And in the middle of that night, the Holy Spirit, he was encountering different people. And one of our students who had been having just some doubt about how much the Holy Spirit was even moving in her life, but she was so hungry. And so the Holy Spirit just starts leading her. And so she's surrendering things. She's laying things down at God's feet. And she's like, I want more of you, God. She's laying these things down. And the presence of God just starts coming upon her. And she said it actually felt like electricity shooting through her arms. And I've had that a few times, usually in the middle of intercession, but the tangible presence of God was on her. But what it looked like to us was a young woman whose arms were raised, and she was just worshiping, and tears are streaming down her face, and she's like, Jesus, I just love you, Jesus, I just love you. And it was so incredibly beautiful. God is up to something. And it's not just because we went to a conference and had a good time. I start thinking back of the broader picture. And in 2020, there were supposed to be stadium gatherings all across the United States. It was something that had never happened before. There's always been some stadium gatherings, but I think there were supposed to be like 30 plus Christian gatherings all across America. And you could feel like something was ramping up, like the Spirit was about to do something. At least that's what it felt like. And then COVID came in and shut everything down. And I remember being kind of confused, like, God, like, what's going on? I thought you were going to move. I thought revival was coming. I thought something was about to hit, and then COVID got in the way. And then a couple of years ago, at Asbury University in Kentucky, just a simple Christian university chapel, the presence of God started to move just in the midst of simple worship, and it started a months-long season of night and day worship and prayer. Just very simple, not fancy, no fancy bands coming in, just simple groups of students who were leading in worship. And the Lord started doing something in such a humble, out-of-the-way sort of place. Many who were there talked about how they actually believed the Lord was doing something in prayer that was going to be released in a greater way across America. And so right now, you can go online and find in some of these different like Instagram accounts stories of hundreds of baptisms and salvations that are happening on university campuses as the Lord is moving. But it's not just in the States. I was listening to a podcast. There's one for Canadian pastors. It's called the Pastorate Podcast. And actually, Pastor Claude was interviewed on it a few weeks ago, that podcast played. But a bit before that, there was a pastor from the West Coast, and he's just talking about Gen Z, which is around the age of like 13 to 28, 29 or so, is Gen Z. And he talked about how in this generation, he is seeing a hunger and an openness to God that he's never seen before. There's something that's shifting. Now, I have friends who pastor kind of across Western Canada in different areas, and I kind of sent a group message to a bunch of them because we're all in the group together and just asking, what are you seeing? And they're all kind of seeing the same thing. Like there's an openness to God right now. Before we headed down to Regina as a group GMBS, we were just spending some time in listening prayer, asking the Lord what's his heart is, what does he want to do? And one of the phrases that I heard was this phrase, the turning of the tide. And for years, for many of us, we're used to this idea of just hearing like things are getting darker and darker and darker, and like it feels like the tide of righteousness is going out, it's not coming in. But something is shifting in our generation. People who do research and actually like study the numbers, like they're saying that this generation is 50% less likely to become atheists than their parents are. There's something shifting in a generation as they're hungry for more of the Lord. And we're not just seeing it in other places. Like, I think about our last couple of Alive worship nights here where the building's been packed out. I think about the fact that we have 50 people in our baptism class right now. And we just did baptisms in November. And there's 50 people wanting to be baptized. We see the Spirit moving here. Just this week, we did a two-day youth conference here for high schoolers called Revive. And the presence of God on Tuesday night was just so real and rich and powerful in this place, as students on spring break, instead of just chilling, hanging out with their friends, were coming to worship God. Like, something's happening. About a month ago, and it was in the third service, Pastor Clody was speaking on humility, and we get like a couple of minutes in to worship in the third service, and the power goes out. So lights are out, sound goes out. Like, we just got some emergency lights in different areas of the room. They actually cracked that door open a bit back there so that a bit of sunlight can get in through there. And it's kind of like, hey, what's going to happen? Because the power was out for most of the service. And the worship just continued. And I remember being in the room. I was sitting in that section over there. And I felt the presence of God in this building in a way that I've never felt in this building before. I'm Sometimes when the presence comes on me, I just start getting so hot. So I was getting so hot, but I'm also like crying and I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, like, is this the moment when revival is going to break in? This thing, like, for myself, I've been praying for 15 plus years, and many of you, I'm sure, have been praying longer. Is this the moment on a simple Sunday morning when the power goes out and a message of humility where you come in power? Is this the moment? And it wasn't, but it felt so close. It felt so close. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our midst, it was just like, ooh. You can taste it. It's like when you're just about to eat a steak and you can smell it and your mouth starts watering, and then it's like, oh, not today. And I'm like, oh, Lord, would you do it? Guys, for years, like even in the ministry I was a part of before I was here, I would see God do some really awesome things. But honestly, often I had to travel to do it. I would go to different places, speak in a church here or someplace over there, and like see God do some really cool things and really cool testimonies of healing, really cool testimonies of people like encountering people's hearts, all that stuff. But one of the things that's blowing me away is that now I get to see it here. I wish all of you guys had the chance to sit in when we share testimonies at GMDS. And the testimonies of what the Lord has been doing in people's lives, it is so holy, so wild, so crazy. Sometimes half of us or more are in tears as we're listening to what God has done in people's lives. And it's like, man, if anyone doesn't believe Jesus is real, they like... You need to talk to some of these students and hear what the Lord is doing in their midst, because God is wanting to move in power in this generation. And there's this thing that burns on the inside of me. I'm looking at the time already. I'm like, oh man, I wish I had like 2 hours. But anyway, don't worry, I won't. But I wish I could. I believe we're at the turning of a tide in our nation. I don't know if revival is going to come like next year. I don't know. I've been praying for 15 years, and in the middle of that time period, there's been these different seasons where I've just really felt like I noticed an increase in his presence. And what I've been telling my students is like, I don't know if like revival is coming like really, really soon. I don't know, but I do know this. This is a season to ask for more. This is a season to ask for more. This is not a season to say, oh, cool, God's doing some cool things, that's kind of good. I think it's a season to say, oh my goodness, like, God, you're on the move right now. People are getting baptized, lives are being changed, you're transforming people in so many different areas. Like, God, we want more. We want everything that you have for us. And so this morning, I want to talk a bit about the Holy Spirit. I want to talk a little bit about his role, because I want us to be ready for what he wants to do. And here's honestly why I'm doing it, because when Jesus was moving in power in the Gospels and people were getting healed and people were getting delivered of demons, one of the things that happened is that some of the people were saying it's by the power of Satan that he does this. And they missed the move of God. And many of you are in a similar boat to me. We grew up in context where we didn't hear a lot of teaching about Holy Spirit. Didn't really have much experience of him moving in power. When we heard of the gifts of the Spirit, like maybe prophecy or tongues or healing, we kind of like, ooh, immediately were suspicious and we like kind of drew back. And I think the Lord wants us to get to know his Spirit a little bit better. But see, Holy Spirit, he's a person, which sounds weird to say because he's spirit. How can he be a person? He's a person not in the sense that he has flesh and blood, but in the sense that he has personality. He has things that he likes. He has things that that actually grieve him. He has things that he does when he shows up in power. And it's important to know that the Holy Spirit is fully God. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all three of them are equally God. Again, this is important because sometimes people say, oh, yeah, I love preaching on the Father and I love preaching on the Son, but that Holy Spirit stuff is just a little bit too much for me. I'm just not into that Holy Spirit stuff. I wish they wouldn't do that Holy Spirit stuff. But can you imagine if I got up here and I said to you guys, man, I love the Father and the Father's so good and I love the Holy Spirit. I love what he does, but oh, that stuff about the Son, it just makes me uncomfortable. Boy, we'd be like, oh, okay, there's something wrong with your theology, Brian. Like, Jesus is God. You need to love him. You need to honor him. You need to want more of Jesus in your life. But we've often been taught to do that with the Holy Spirit. And we've treated him like a side thing. And we get uncomfortable with the idea of his presence moving. Maybe when I told you the story of this student who was feeling his presence like electricity in her arms, you're like, oh, I don't know. Is that the Lord? I don't know. Well, she's singing, Jesus, I love you, with tears streaming down her face. If that's Satan, he's doing a horrible job. And the Lord, I think, wants us to get over our fear and enter into the place for hunger. Not where we throw out our discernment, but so often our version of discernment is, if I don't understand it, it can't be God. That's not discernment. That's unbelief. But actually, biblical discernment. Lord, I don't know what's happening, but if it's you, I'm in. If it's not, I don't want any of it, but if it's you, I'm in. See, he wants to move. So I want to talk a bit about him today, and my notes are pretty much useless because I'm getting excited and rambling all over. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ezekiel 47. I want to talk a little bit about what the Holy Spirit's like and how he moves. And there's so many good things that can be said about Holy Spirit. Like John 14 and 16, they have so many things to tell us about, like, the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. Like, he's a comforter, he's a teacher, he reveals the Son to us. Like, so many great things. And I don't have time to talk about all these dimensions of Holy Spirit. I want to focus specifically this morning on the reviving work that the Spirit does. And in Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel, he's in this encounter with this angelic being. He's seeing visions, and he sees this river that's flowing from the temple in Jerusalem, and it's flowing down. And the further it gets from the temple, the wider it gets and the deeper it gets. So that's pretty wild in and of itself. And many of you are familiar with that part of the story. But I want to read further, a part that maybe we don't read as much. Starting in verse 6. So again, this is Ezekiel. He's in the middle of an encounter with this angelic being. And it says, he asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And I just want you guys to be like, pay attention to what the river does. He said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the salty water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Fishermen will stand along the shore from En Gedi to En Eglaim. There will be places for spreading nets. The fish will be of many kinds, like the fish of the Mediterranean Sea. But the swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. Fruit trees of all kind will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. I suspect, as I read through my Bible, that this is actually going to be a literal river at the end of the age. Commentators are kind of split on this, and ultimately that's just my opinion. It doesn't really matter. But this river is talked about in several places in the Bible. So Zechariah talks about it as well in Zechariah 14, verse 8. Joel writes about it in Joel 3, verse 18. Revelation mentions it in Revelation 22, 1 and 2. So we don't know whether this is a literal river or not. I kind of think it is, but again, just my opinion doesn't really matter that much. But what commentators are agreed on is that this speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit and of the activity of the Holy Spirit. And notice, everywhere he goes, things come alive. Everywhere he flows, like when he moves and where he moves, everything comes alive. Dead things get restored. I love that picture of flowing into the Dead Sea, which is so salty, like almost nothing can live there. But where he flows, dead things come to life. Things get healed, restored, renewed, revived. It's not because the Holy Spirit is like trying even. I think it's just who he is. It's just a natural effect of him moving in a place that he just brings dead things to life. There's a couple of other passages that talk about the Holy Spirit in kind of similar language. And Pastor Claude mentioned them in a sermon maybe a month and a half ago, but I want to read over them. Isaiah 44, 3-4. God says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground." The activity of the Spirit here is compared to water in a drought. When the ground is cracked, dry, nothing is happening. And he pours his Spirit out. It's like water on dry ground. He says, "I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams." Does our nation seem dead and like dry, cracked ground? This is what happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out from on high. In John 7, 37 to 39, it says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." And he talks about this reality of like, and I love this, of first of all, is that the Spirit inside of us is like a stream of living water. And the Spirit inside of us wants to revive and restore. I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, but maybe I'll just jump ahead. The Holy Spirit wants to renew you from the inside out. But in some ways, your heart and your soul is a little bit like a mansion with a whole bunch of rooms. And if you have your doors closed to the Holy Spirit, he's not going to flow into those rooms. But if you say yes, he's going to come into dead places. He's going to come into hurting places. He's going to come into broken places, and he's going to release new life. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor. I'm saying this because I see it every day with our students at GMDS, that as they open up their hearts, he breaks down walls, which they all love. He moves on the inside of us to restore and renew. This is what he does. And I love this imagery because he doesn't just want to flow on the inside of us, but from us will flow rivers of living water. And the idea is that we're to be a walking revival, a living, breathing, walking revival. That the Spirit flows on the inside, but then he flows from us. And everywhere we go, we speak life. Every situation in our workplaces, in our schools, on our sports teams, in our clubs, whatever, everywhere we go, life is being released. It's streams of living water. And those streams of living water are bringing dead things to life. This is who the Holy Spirit is. Do any of you have a friend who's like just totally the life of a party? And when they like show up, you're like, oh good, this is going to be a fun night because this person's just like a character and they're going to be telling jokes and it's going to be silly and it's just going to be fun. Now, I have a few friends like that. I have a few students like that too, where you just know it's going to be a good time when they show up. It's because it's just who they are. In a similar sort of way, when the Holy Spirit shows up, hearts are going to get healed. Relationships are going to get restored. Sin and addiction is going to get dealt with because it's just who he is. It's just what he does. And this is why we're hungry and desperate for more of the Holy Spirit. This is why the Holy Spirit, he's not a side issue. Well, let's just agree on the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We can kind of toss him over there. No, 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 no. He's a Spirit of the risen Christ. He's the very one. In Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." It's the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus when he was walking around in the flesh on the planet. We want that Holy Spirit. We want his presence in us. We want his activity in our lives and in our families and, in our neighborhoods. We want to say yes to his activity. And I love this imagery that it talks about of like a of like water. Or in some places it talks about him being like wind. Because that's in some ways how he moves, especially in corporate settings. I remember being down in a place about 15 years ago where there's a move of the Holy Spirit where over a period of about 10 months there was over 6,000 documented healings. Loads of baptisms, crazy testimonies of hearts being healed up by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I remember being in these meetings and some, it just, you know, would start, let's say at 6 o'clock, and someone would get up and just say, God, we just thank you. Just thank you for your presence here. And as they would start praying, it was like the presence of God, almost like a wave, would just start flooding into the room. I don't know how else to describe it. It's hard to describe what spirit feels like because we're used to people's presence. We're not used to the presence of spirit maybe. But he would come like a flood into the room. And all around, people would start to encounter the goodness of God. And then he'd just start doing what he wanted to do. Whether it was healing, whether it was releasing like deep stuff on the inside of people, I would see it happening again and again and again. That his presence could just come and sweep into a room. Honestly, I really feel like there's a real dimension. It's one of the reasons why, like a month ago when we were in our service and everyone just started worshiping and I felt the presence of God, I'm like, I think it's one of the reasons why I was like in tears, because I'm like, oh God, oh please come. God, we need you. God, we need you. And it's not about a feeling. It's not a feeling I'm chasing. It's a person. Because when Holy Spirit comes, I know that when he comes in power like that, eyes open up to the beauty of Jesus. I know that when he comes in power like that, hearts get restored. He encounters us in the place of trauma. He encounters us in the place of bitterness. He encounters us in the place of anger. And years ago, as I first started getting exposed to seeing the Spirit move in power, I learned this prayer, and it was just this: God, I want everything you have for me, no matter what it looks like. God, I want everything you have for me, no matter what it looks like. And we got to remember that we worship a God that in Acts chapter 2, he came and there's a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it fills the place, and all the people started speaking in other languages, and it's like, how weird was that? But can you imagine if they would have said, that's weird, I don't want it, let's shut this whole thing down? They would have lost the grace to see the 3,000 come into the kingdom that day if they would have shut that down. It's like, okay, I don't want to stop the Holy Spirit. Or Peter, he's in the middle of preaching Acts chapter 10, and he's halfway through his message. He's just kind of given the basics of the gospel, and he's about to move on to the next part of his message. But like, I think what's happening probably, I'm reading into the text a little bit, is they're listening to it, and they're like, we want that Jesus. And it says that the Spirit fell on them in the middle of his sermon. And they all started speaking in tongues. And Peter's like, he's so pumped. He's like, oh, they've received the same Holy Spirit that we have. This is amazing. Can you imagine if they would have said, that doesn't fit my box that I have God in. I don't like that. I'm out of here. Oh, they would have lost the grace to see the Spirit move in power. I remember listening to this lady. She's in her 80s now, but her and her husband, they were pastors back decades ago during a time of the move of the Spirit on the east coast of Canada. And they were seeing just crazy things happen, that as the Spirit was moving, like people would just come to church asking, how do I get saved? And she said it was so easy to lead someone to Jesus. She said it was so easy to lead someone to Jesus that, like, hey, if someone came up to you, she was just joking, she didn't literally do this, but she just said, like, you probably could have just said to somebody, peanut butter, and they're like, oh, I need Jesus. Because his presence and power was so tangible in that moment. And then some of the upper church leaders in their denomination were like, we're uncomfortable with some of this Holy Spirit stuff that's going on. We need to shut some of this stuff down. And as soon as they did, all the salvation stopped. I've had some encounters with seeing the presence of God come, but they're nothing like the stories of historic revival in 1949 to 1952 or 53 in the north of Scotland. There's these islands, and just kind of bare. It's not really my understanding, it's not necessarily the most beautiful place in the world. It's kind of rainy and windswept. But these Hebrides Islands, or the Hebridean Islands, there's a move of the Spirit where the tangible presence of God would come, and it would flood towns and villages. And there's stories of people, they're out working by their barn. And all of a sudden, the guy's just overcome by the presence of God. He gets down on his knees and just starts praying. the stories of a schoolmaster, it'd be like they're a principal, I guess, and he's walking along and through a field, actually, and all of a sudden there's a conviction of sin that hits him, and he just realizes he needs Jesus, and he gets down on the ground and starts crying out to God for mercy, and a couple of his school kids come along and they start praying with this guy. There's stories of a whole bunch of, it would be young adults who were in a dance hall, which was their version of a nightclub, and all of a sudden, as they're there in the midst of their activity, the conviction of sin hits them, and they all just in mass, like they just all leave, as this conviction of sin is hitting them. This is what happens when the Spirit of God moves in power. And like I said earlier, I don't know what God's doing right now. I know that something is shifting. I believe there's a turning of the tide that's happening right now. But I do believe this is a season to press in and to ask for more. I could go on and would love to go on, and we would have an epic traffic jam in the parking lot. But I think it's going to be pretty epic no matter what. So I want to just leave you with a few practicals as we wrap things up. And the first isn't a practical, but maybe it is. I just want to say, if you're a young adult and you're not sure what you're doing in fall, come to GMDS. I'm just going to say, if the Lord leads you somewhere else, great, go somewhere else. Bless you, like, awesome. But I just want to say, we're seeing God move here, and I love it. And if he calls you to YWAM, go do YWAM. Like, bless you. I love YWAM. I love YWAM. If the Lord calls you someplace else or says, no, actually, I want you to work this year, then work. That's awesome. Like, do it. But I just want to be bold because we're seeing God transform lives. And I don't want, if you're a young adult here and you're like, I don't even know where I'm at in my life right now, I don't want you to miss what the Lord is doing. And yes, he's working in places outside of GMDS. I get all that. But I'm seeing lives transformed. I just want to invite you to pray about it. Usually I'm not that bold on it, but it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm seeing what God's doing. But here's some practicals. The first is this. Walk in obedience right now to God. And I love the fact that because we have the Spirit in us, we don't have to wait for revival to come to pray for the sick. We don't have to wait for revival to come to share our faith. We just don't have to wait. We have the Spirit of revival on the inside of us. So just walk in obedience. This is not a time for, like, 80% obedience. Almost anyone can do 80. It's that last 20. Walk in obedience to what he's asking you to do. I think sometimes, again, people make the mistake of kind of sitting back and like, oh, I'm going to jump into the things of God when revival comes. I say, no, like, jump in now. Look for areas to serve. Look for areas to minister. Look for areas to be obedient. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Secondly, so the first is walk in obedience to him now. Secondly, we want to have hearts that are prepared for what is to come. And I want to tell you, allow the Holy Spirit into every single room of your heart. Every single room. Pastor Claude spoke a message on forgiveness last week. That wasn't just a good idea because it fit into our healthy relationship series. I think it's a word of the Lord right now for us as a people. It always is, but I think especially now. If you have unforgiveness, deal with it. So we have this fear of surrender to God. And the fear is, if I surrender areas of my life to God, he's somehow going to, like, really wound me or take advantage of me or hurt me. This is the same God who died on the cross for your sins, though. So you can tell where that lie is coming from. It's from the pit of hell. If God is asking you to surrender something, I guarantee you it's for your good. I guarantee you if he's asking you to lay something down, things are going to be better on the other side of it. And sometimes, yes, when you lay something down, it's like a seed planted in the ground and you don't see the fruit of it the next year. Sometimes you look back 10 years later and you're like, oh, there he was, and it takes 10 years to see it. But I promise you, if he's asking you to lay something down, it's for your good. We're so afraid. Well, I don't want to surrender. What if the Lord says something to me about money? That should be a red flag instantly if that's in your mind, that money's an idol in your life. Well, what if he asks me to forgive that one person? I can't forgive that one person. That's a red flag, that bitterness. You've allowed it to consume you in that area of your life. Just let the Holy Spirit in. Maybe that area of bitterness is like the Dead Sea. It's just all filled with salt and not the good kind, the kind the Bible talks about, right? It's a bad kind. It's a Dead Sea kind of salt. Let those living waters flow in and let them soften you up. Let them heal those areas in your heart. Guys, surrender to God is not a bad thing. Some of you, you're like, God, I have plans for my life. I'm so afraid. Like, if I surrender to you, you're going to ruin my plans. You're going to send me as a missionary somewhere or something. I don't want my plans ruined. I'm just like, what if he's inviting you on the greatest adventure of your life and you're saying no because you want a nice car that you can impress a girlfriend with or something? You're like, well, I'd rather impress my girlfriend than I would lay down my life to follow Jesus. Silly. But we do it, right? You can trust him is what I'm saying. You can trust him. And we need to lay down everything at the foot of the cross. And then finally, we want to pray. We want to pray for the Holy Spirit to move in this region. You know, I look at my friend Mike Libby over there, works at the bunker in town. Pray for the bunker. Pray for the Holy Spirit to move in power in the bunker. Pray for the other churches in our community. Pray for the Holy Spirit to flood the churches in our community with his glory, that every single church would be overflowing with people who are head over heels in love with Jesus. Now is the time to partner with his heart. Why don't we stand? I want to pray just as we close. God, we don't fully know what you're doing right now, but we just want to thank you for what we're seeing and hearing. God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for what you're doing in the nations of the earth right now. God, thank you. We love it. And Lord, we want more. We want your Spirit to flow like a river through this church. Not just to fill this building, but outside, out of the doors, into the streets, into our workplaces, into our families, into our sports teams, into our schools, into our neighborhoods, God, into our communities. Lord, that eyes would see Jesus clearly, that spiritual blindness and bondage would be broken off, and that Jesus would be praised as Lord and King above all. In his name, amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.